went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Let me distinguish between this tent and the tabernacle in which they offered the sacrifices. They're not the same. This is afar off from the camp. The tabernacle in which the priest ministered was in the midst of the camp. All right, verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now here Moses begins to call upon God and to pray. And Moses presents a threefold petition to the Lord. As I read it, I want you to underline these three requests. Underline it in your Bible. And we learn something here about true prayer. Before I read this, I'll comment on what I saw and see if you see it as we go through here about prayer. First of all, we pray alone to God. There's no saints or intercessors or mediators between. Now, Christ is our mediator, you understand. But I'm talking about, we don't pray to Mary or Jude or Christopher. There's no one. Moses spake to God face to face, and God spake to Moses. So prayer, when we pray alone to God. Enter your closet and shut the door. Private, personal, individual prayer. I hear them talking about don't take prayer out of the schools. You can't take true prayer out of any place. The very fact that they intimate you can take it out indicates it's not prayer. Prayer is not a bunch of people getting together saying words. Prayer is communion with God Almighty between the heart, from my heart to the heart of God. Isn't that right? And that's the only prayer there is. We're not heard for our much speaking. We're not heard for our eloquence. We're not heard for our repetitious praises. We're heard in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because he loved us and gave himself for us and for the sincerity of the heart. Call on God. Pray. Alone to God. Now you'll see that here. Secondly, Moses prayed about spiritual matters. He prayed about spiritual matters. He talks about God. He talks about your way, your presence, and your glory. Not I, me, and mine. Our Lord condemned that kind of praying. He said, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust, on your wants and desires. That's the reason our prayers, many of them are not what we call prayers not answered. They're selfish prayers. We pray for ourselves, our bodies, our bellies, our lust, our desires, our wants, instead of his presence, his glory, and his way. You're going to see that here. Let's get weaned. John said that in his prayer. Wean us, deliver us from the world. from the cares and confusion of the world. Set our hearts and affection on things above. What Moses asked here, he received, because it was a spiritual prayer. Let's show you something else. He prays humbly. No cuckiness here. He says, he kept saying, Lord, now if I found grace in your sight, you will notice it. If I found grace in your sight, you don't owe it to me. I don't deserve it. If I found grace. And then Moses prayed big. I read the other day some old writer, he says, pray big. God said, ask me and I'll show you great and mighty things you've never seen. Pray big. I don't know which queen, maybe it was Queen Elizabeth, but Ronnie, you have to correct me afterwards if I get this wrong. Now, but I read things and I read where Sir Walter Raleigh was a favorite of Queen Elizabeth, or one of those queens. I think it was Elizabeth. But one time she said to him, Raleigh, when are you going to quit asking for things? He said, when your majesty is unable to give them. Boy, that's good, isn't it? You reckon that she cared after that? And I'll quit asking when my God is unable to deliver. Nothing's too hard for God. Is anything too hard for God? Pray big. All right, let's look at his prayer then. Moses, verse 12, said to the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, underscore these words, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Show me thy way, that I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight. Continue to find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. The Lord said, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And Moses said to him, underscore this, second request, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you don't go with us, don't let us go. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Isn't that the evidence that we're thy people, that you're with us? Wouldn't that be the evidence we're not your people if you're not with us? So shall we be separated, distinguished, I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Your presence distinguishes us. And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Oh my. One more request. And Moses said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now here are the three requests. I want to look at them just briefly. First, Moses prayed, and he prayed big. He said, Lord, show me your way, that I may know thee. We all know something of the way of men, don't we? It's called the broad way. Our Lord said, broad is the way, Broad is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. Because straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. Know something about that way. It's called the way that seems right to men. It says in the Word of God two or three times, there's a way that seems right to men. It's the way of death. And then God called it your way. Pointing to me too, your way. He said, my ways are not your way. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And it's called the way of Cain, the way of the flesh. But Moses said here, he prayed, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way. I tell you, Moses calls it God's way because it's the way God purposed. It's the way that God himself provided. It's the way God himself purchased with his own blood. It's the way that glorifies him. It's the way that enables him to be just and justifier. Isn't that right? It's the way that glorifies his name. It's the way that is compatible to the Scripture. I told my Sunday school class this morning, I said, if we don't believe this gospel of the grace of God, please tell me what gospel we do believe. Give me a gospel that's true to the Scriptures other than this gospel. Show me a way that glorifies God more than the way of grace, the way of Christ. Show me a way that enables God to be just and justify sinners like you and me. Show me a way that will save the chief of sinners and keep him saved. Show me a way that will populate heaven with a people just like Christ. Show me a way. This is the only way. That's the reason the Apostle Paul could say, if any man preach any other gospel than the gospel which I've preached, let him be accursed. Turn to Romans 4 a minute. Moses says, show me your way. It's not the way of men, it's the way of God. And I'll tell you something about this way. It's a sure way. It's a sure hope. It's a sure way. Listen to this verse in Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is a faith. Salvation is a faith that it might be by grace. Now watch this. To the end, or for the cause, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, the Jew, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. This way of God, this way of Christ, this way of grace is the only way that's sure. If salvation is by anything other than the free gift and grace of God, it's not sure. We may yet fall. And notice the foundation of this request. He says, Lord, in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, if I'm an object of your grace, an object of your love, show me your way, that I may know thee. What's the first time that the word grace is used in the Bible? The very first time that the word grace is used in this book. I'll tell you. It's in Genesis 6. When it talks about the wickedness of the whole human race, its departure from God. And then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God made a difference and showed grace to Noah. This is what Moses is praying. Lord, if I've been made an object of your grace. That's right. Lot prayed that. Let me show you that in Genesis 19. Turn over there a minute. In Genesis 19, when God was going to bring Lot out of Sodom, this is the way he prayed in Genesis 19, verse 19. Listen to Lot. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Oh, Oh, my. Which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Can't every one of us say that very same thing? Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. That's why I am what I am, by the grace of God. That's why I am where I am, by the grace of God. That's why I know what I know, by the grace of God. That's why I have the hope that I have, by the grace of God. That's right. You have magnified your mercy, which you showed unto me in saving my life. Oh, by Gideon. He said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Now look back at this request one more time, then I'll go to the next one. Verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I'm an object of grace, if I found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. These two words are so important. You show me your way. If God doesn't show it to us, we'll never learn it. That's right. You show me your way that I may know you. There is no other way to know God except by revelation. No other way. David Brainerd, the great David Brainerd, who wrote that hymn that... as Murray McShane. David Brainerd was a missionary to the Indians up in the northeastern part of our country. David Brainerd studied under Jonathan Edwards. David Brainerd, when God was pleased to deal with him, he said he faced four things. Four things he faced. Number one, God required a perfect obedience to his law. And Brainerd said, I saw I couldn't fulfill it. Secondly, he said, I saw that God required faith, and I couldn't produce it. Thirdly, he said, I saw that God Almighty could give faith, that he could work faith in a human heart. That he, by his goodness, could give a man faith to believe. And fourthly, he said, I saw that God could give it to me or pass me by. It was all up to his sovereign will. He said, that's what I saw. And that's true. That's what Moses said. He said, Lord, I pray you, if I found grace in your sight, you show me your way. Show it to me. Can you pray that? Can I pray that? Lord, show me your way. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, and let's look at this for a moment. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm talking about revelation. I'm talking about men by human wisdom and natural knowledge do not know God. God is known by revelation. God is known by him revealing himself in his word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. Listen. Paul's talking about the wisdom of God. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Lord, show me your way, that I may know thee. Reveal it to me. All right, go back to the text. Here's the second request. He said, Lord, if your presence, verse 15, if your presence go not with me, carry us not hence. Now, let's talk first about his presence. It really doesn't matter where I am. It really doesn't matter what I have. It really doesn't matter who I'm with. It really doesn't matter who I am. As long as God is with me. And if God is not with me, if his presence is not with me, then his love is not with me. His favor is not upon me. His acceptance is not with me. This is what Moses is saying. Lord, if your presence indicates his love, his acceptance, his favor, his fellowship, his forgiveness, his blessings, his mercy, his will. And if you don't go with me, just don't let me go. Verse 16, I just love this verse. He says, for this is the evidence of your grace, is your presence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Isn't that evidence? Isn't that the indication that we found grace in God's sight? Is his presence. His presence. I'll tell you something else I noticed about this verse. Now, look at it. Let's read it again in 15. Verse 15. And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence go not with me, carry us not hence. Moses is speaking as the leader. If your presence go not with me, I've got a responsibility. It's not only mine, but you elders, you fathers, you mothers, you who have a responsibility laid upon you by God. This is a prayer for me and for you. Lord, if your presence is not with me, then don't let me lead anybody anywhere. What a responsibility. I see that. What a responsibility we who have some measure of the weight of a stewardship, a father, a mother, a pastor, an elder, a business leader, a school teacher. Who are responsible to influence people and lead people and teach people and set an example for people and to speak for people. There's people here all over this congregation who have responsibility to speak for people and to them and lead them and influence them. And Moses said, if you don't go with me, Just don't let me go. Don't let me lead these people. Don't put this on me. Don't you feel that way, Tom? Don't put this on me if you don't go with me. Don't do it. But if you do go with me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. If you go with me, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I believe I can identify with him here. Show me your way. I'm tired of our way and my way and their way. I want to know your way, that I may know thee. And then, Lord, give me your presence. Your presence. And if your presence does not go with me, then just don't let me move. Let me die. Let me be buried. But don't let me move. Don't let me move without your presence. Now here's the third one. Well, the Lord said in verse 17, Moses, I'll do this thing that thou hast spoken, for you found grace in my sight. I know you by name. I know you by name. And he said, Lord, then I beseech you, show me your glory. I've heard preachers preach on the glory of God. And there's a tendency to wax eloquent when we're talking about the glory of God. I heard a preacher tell a story one time, a famous preacher, that he and his wife went on vacation. And they were going through a certain town in the South where a well-known black preacher pastored a church. And he said to his wife, he said, when we go through this town in this southern state, I want to stop and some Sunday morning or on Sunday morning hear this black preacher, well-known. We'll try to get there right at church time, and we'll just slip in the back and hear him. Well, they got there, and the church was packed. There were people standing on the porch. They were standing in all around the aisles and chairs down, just packed with people, little country church. And this preacher and his wife parked their car, and they went around looking for some place to try to hear this man. He's already started his message. And this pastor said, we got to a window, and he said, I could just see through the window there, and I was standing there with my hand on the sill and looking in, and there was that preacher up there in the pulpit preaching. Had on a long coat, bow tie, and white shirt. He's preaching on the glory of God. And he said, where was God before he made a man? And the people all said, where was he? Where was he? He said, where was God before he made the world? And they said, where was he? And he said, where was God before he hung the stars and the moon in place and put the clouds in the sky to float across the blue heavens? Where was God? They said, where was he? He said, where was God before the morning stars sang together? Where was God? They said, where was he? He said, where was God, I say, before he made the angels and the seraphims? Where was he? And they said, where was he? He said, in his glory, that's where he was. This preacher said, that's magnificent. Well, it was, but it doesn't tell me what that glory is. I know he's in his glory, but what is his glory? That's what Moses said here. Show me your glory. Just show it to me. Now, all right, God said in verse 19, I will. I will. Ask of me, and I'll show you mighty things. I will. That's what the leper said when our Lord came down from the mountain. He stood, fell at his feet and said, if you will, you can make me clean. Our Lord said, I will. He said to Moses, I will. Well, now how's he going to show Moses his glory? Will he show him his power and make a mountain move? Watch, Moses. Moved the mountain like he moved the sea. Now Moses has seen that. Will he make a mountain disappear or maybe create a new star? Huh? Moses had seen a lot of those things. Will he show Moses his wisdom by revealing his thoughts? I know what you're thinking, Moses. You know what I'm thinking? Oh, that's wonderful. Omniscient. Will he show Moses his justice and wrath by destroying the pagans and heathens and nations around him? He showed him that down in Egypt. Wiped them out. Will he show Moses the burning mountain that flashes with fire and brimstone and the rolling clouds and the voice of God? He'd seen that. Will he show him his glory by writing a law? He'd seen that. You show him his glory, all right. You read verse 19. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. That's God's glory, is his goodness. D- Did you know that? The glory of God is His love, His goodness, His mercy, His grace in Christ. That's the glory of God. He says, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Tell me, when is that Father? When is the true character and the glory of that Father, the Father of the prodigal son, when is it seen in its greatest glory? When He's given out His inheritance to His sons, oh, He's a good father. He's saved all this money and these things and given it to His boys, generous. Maybe it's when He's building that farm up, you know, and showing His wisdom and intelligence in accumulating all these great things more powerful than His neighbors. No, I'll tell you, when that Father's chief glory is when He sees that boy coming across that mountain that's wasted his substance and used up his money and wasted his inheritance and lived like a fool and a rebel. And here he comes in his dirty rags across that hill and walks down that path, and that Father runs to meet him and throws his arms around him and kisses him. That's His glory, His goodness. And you and I want to glorify God. That's the best way you can glorify God, by loving, forgiving, and being gracious. That's His glory. That's right. God's goodness is His glory. David said, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, who would stand? Everybody knows that. I think preachers, sometimes people say, boy, he preaches hellfire and brimstone. Well, he doesn't preach God's glory then. Boy, he sure stomped on our toes. Then he didn't preach God's glory. Because God's glory comforts the heart. Boy, he sure let them have it today. Then he didn't preach God's glory. God's glory is His goodness. Isn't that something? We're just opposite. I'll be gracious. But now watch this, and let me close with this. Don't separate His goodness from His sovereignty. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. If men earn it or deserve it, it's not grace. It's not glory. That's right. If men earn it or deserve it, it's not grace. It's not mercy. If I pay you what I owe you, that doesn't bring any glory or honor to me. But if I give you what you don't deserve and forgive you if you don't deserve it and be gracious to you when you've been unkind to me, now then, he's some kind of feller. And he is. I don't mean to be. But he is some kind of feller. He's gracious to whom he will be gracious. I'll tell you something else. Don't forget this, and we'll come to a close. His goodness and grace and mercy cannot be separated from His holiness. That's the reason Christ is essential. That's the reason His obedience and His death and His blood is essential to enable God to be gracious to the undeserving. That's right. And forgive us, because Christ died for us. A man, let me give you this illustration. Spurgeon visited a man who was dying. When Spurgeon was a very young preacher, he went to visit this man who was dying, and he asked him, what is your hope? And the man said, well, I'm going to heaven. And Spurgeon said, what makes you believe that you're going to heaven? You've never been interested in going to heaven before. And the man replied, I'm going to heaven because God is good. And Spurgeon says, Yes, my friend, God is good, but God is just. And God said he will not clear the guilty. God is good, but God said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the man said, no. No, God is good. God is merciful. God is gracious. And Spurgeon said, he is indeed in Christ. In Christ. He is indeed. Oh, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Well, that's our prayer. Lord, show me your way. I believe he has. I believe he has. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If your presence does not go with us, don't let us go. His presence is certainly with us. It is. And I believe we've seen in our Lord Jesus Christ God's matchless glory. Don't you? I want to see more. I want to know more of his way, more of his presence, and more of his glory by his grace. All right, Mike, let's sing a closing hymn, and we'll go home.